Hey y'all, I'm Leslie Kerrigan, and I'm on a mission to help photographers just like you build successful senior photography businesses. Why? Because when I first started, I couldn't find the answers I was looking for to help me in my business, and I don't want that for you. I created Seniorology to be a complete resource full of education, information, and inspiration for senior photographers. With over 10 years of experience and a lot of trial and error, I've learned what it takes to create a six-figure senior photography business that is still going strong today. I created this podcast with you, the senior photographer, in mind to share with you what works and what doesn't, what I'm actually implementing in my own business in order to help you create the business of your dreams and become the go-to senior photographer in your area. Are you ready? Let's get started. It's okay to ask for help. The only way to successfully keep moving forward in your business is to get the help when you need it. Help from someone who is successfully doing what you want to do. Sometimes we just need the support, answers to questions, and a guide to show us the way. That is why coaching or one-on-one calls with someone you trust in the business is such a good idea. It gives you the opportunity to get the help you need exactly where you need it. Trust me, you will get there a lot faster if you ask for help, get the guidance, and invest in your business through education. It's exactly what I wish I had done many years ago. Instead, I white-knuckled it, made a ton of mistakes that I really could have avoided, pieced together information here and there without a clear direction, and because of that, it took me a lot longer to crack the code and get to where I am today. That is why I'm so passionate about helping other photographers, because I know exactly what it's like to do it all on your own, and it's not fun, and you don't have to do it. So on today's episode of the Seniorology podcast, I'm sharing a coaching call with one of my Seniorology semester students, Caitlin. Caitlin launched her first model team through the Seniorology semester last year. She had great success with it, but she had a couple of questions before going into the launch for her 2024 team, and she asked for the help. We talk about how to balance model team shoots, events, and more, how to ask your model team for help and get their opinions to incorporate into your next team to make it even better, and more. If you're about to launch a model team or just thinking about creating one, you will definitely want to listen to this episode. You may, in fact, have some of the exact same questions Caitlin had. So let's get to the coaching call.
Okay, so tell me, did you launch your model team yet? Or are we about to? Where are we at with model team?
Yes, so we launched it last year for the first time.
Right, but have you done it for this coming up year?
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. I have. So I just ended applications on January, what day was that? January 6th.
Okay. And how many did you get?
Applications closed. I got 9.
Okay.
So I had 20 on my VIP list and then I had 9 applications.
And to be honest, that is about right. It's usually about half that will fall off from a VIP list because, you know, once they find out that, yeah, they have to pay and things of that sort, not everybody on the list is going to apply, but that's kind of also why you have a VIP list, because you see you have 20 that are clearly interested enough to get on your VIP list, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, okay, well, I'm at least going to, you know, I have at least 20 interested and probably around half are actually going to apply and sign up. Are you going to take all 9?
I'm not sure yet. I have 6 girls this year and I feel like that's a pretty good number for me and just trying to juggle, you know, seniors, home life, model team. I think the max that I would take is 8. So I don't know, I guess, you know, it just depends on how model info night goes and like meeting the girls in person and
Okay. And when are you doing that?
That is January 28th is model info night. So So I send my invitations on the 18th. And model info night. And then I told them I would do like, you know, the cute announcement stuff the week of February 13th.
Oh, okay. So what questions do you have for me regarding model teams?
So looking, you know, after our really good conversation of our goals that we had a while ago, I was really looking at the model team and breaking it apart from last year of what I could do better on, you know, what struggled, what worked and things like that. And the biggest thing I had a hard time with was really just, again, that balance, like trying to fit in the shoot along with the senior sessions, trying to fit in, you know, the extra activity stuff that, you know, I want to make the program super special, you know, and have like, you know, times for us to get together that it's not, you know, always taking pictures. Like I want there to be times where we're just, you know, hanging out and fellowship community. And so just all of that, I don't know if I'm just overthinking or trying to do way too much. We so far have done, let's see, we did our July 4th shoot, beginning of school, football, senior sessions, all of them but one did their senior sessions in the fall.
Okay.
And then we did fall and Chris, we've already done six shoots.
Okay. And how many did you promise them?
Five.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, there is something to be said of under promising and over delivering, but at the same time, you can't do way more than you promised, because then that's just going to eat into time for other things. Right.
Right.
Did they have a favorite shoot? Did they, I mean, looking at last year's, is there a shoot that maybe they didn't love as much that maybe you don't have to do this year? That's a possibility. Also, doing shoots when you aren't doing other things is going to be key. In other words, don't plan a spring shoot if your spring is your busy season. Like that, you know what I mean? Off-season stuff is better because you're not doing as much then anyway. You need the content then. But also you're not super stressed trying to balance it all, right? So I definitely think that's a possibility, is just working out your calendar for your models to schedule things that are not in your busiest of times, right? But then also looking at what you've done so far with this team and seeing, okay, was there something they weren't as excited about? Could you cut that out?
Yeah, probably. Like, I guess one that comes to mind is we did like a back to school shoot and they just wore like their high school t-shirts. Weather wasn't great that day anyway, so it was really short. But I mean, that's one that there wasn't a lot I used for advertisement for it. I think it was like a one day post, like going back to school.
Back to school time is such a very limited time. You're right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, ideally planning a shoot that'll give you content that you can stretch or use longer than a very specific, I mean, back to school is cute and fun, but you're right. You're very limited into, you know, how long you can use that, right? Now, don't get me wrong. You can use it again next year just because they happen to be last year's models. That's fine. But you had just done a July 4th shoot. So maybe you didn't need two in the summer, right? Like maybe you just need one in the summer, and it could be either or. It doesn't have to always be July 4th if you don't want it to be. Although mine tend to like that one. So, you know.
Yeah, that is a fun one. Well, and I also had my editorial in July.
Right. Okay. All right. So there you go. That's one thing we need to cut out, is you don't need that many in the summer. Because I mean, you gotta have time for your family and you gotta have time for other things. So I probably would not do three before school ever starts.
Okay.
So keep your editorial there. And then if you want to do a really quick pop-up as an extra, you can do July 4th, but you don't have to promise it, because if your summer happens to be busy, they're not waiting on that, right? Like you don't promise them that, right? So I definitely would stick with the editorial, because I think that's a good time. They're done with their junior year, haven't started their senior year. It gets you fresh content for the new year of seniors. But I definitely would cut out, you know, at least one of those three. And that'll help. Now, how, in addition to these shoots that you've done, how many like get-togethers did you do?
We did, I think it was two, and we just like went to dinner after a shoot.
Okay.
So
that's what I was going to suggest. One way to kind of kill two birds with one stone is to do something after a shoot rather than take yet another day away from some other things you might have to do. So, you know, order pizza after a shoot, or go get dinner after a shoot, or just sit and chat after a shoot. Right. maybe you could always bring a dessert, like have, you know, like just sit around. And I mean, I sat around in a parking lot one time and we had a whole tailgate because we had a shoot that was a tailgate theme and it worked out fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. Would I love to do way more with my girls? Sure. But I can't invest all of my time in people that aren't my family, right? So you do have to definitely make them feel that you care and that you're checking in with them, but that can simply be through your group text. And you can, you know, once a month sort of have either a game you play via your group text message or like a question you ask them, just so they know that you're constantly checking in. And that doesn't take too much time. It doesn't always have to be an in-person thing.
Yeah, I like that, the group text.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, just, you know, how are y'all doing in school this month? And get the conversation started. Next month, you know, when it comes time to, let's say it's November, what are your favorite Thanksgiving traditions? Like, you know, just start a conversation. Don't wait on them and prompt them with these prompts, these questions. And that in and of itself will be checking in with them and you know, continuing that relationship with them. It doesn't always have to be an in-person thing.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like that a lot.
And I definitely keep like a Friendsgiving slash Christmas get together. I mean, I do think that's a good one to always keep.
Yeah, we did a Christmas party where that was like, we didn't do any pictures. We just solely focused on hanging out and, you know, having a good time, which they loved. And it was a lot of fun. So
I do think that if you wanted to, I've done this a couple of times, again, trying to maximize my time, is I will do a Friendsgiving. Everybody brings food. We sit around, we eat our food. We talk about Thanksgiving. We played a couple of Thanksgiving games. Then we changed into our Christmas pajamas and sat around and did like a gift exchange. So I just did both in one.
Okay. Yeah. I like because, that I mean, a lot.
You know, again, December's busy. It's busy for them. It's busy for me. And that way I got to celebrate those two holidays in one sitting instead of having to schedule yet another day for me to go do something. I think it, I think it's a balance of making sure you give them what you promised, spacing those things out in times where you're not as busy, okay? And checking in with them via your group text or DM or however you communicate with them. So it's not always a physical event you have to go to, but they still feel taken care of and that you care, right? And then one or two one-off little events like the Christmas party or a Friendsgiving, and then one or two shoots where maybe you order pizza or go to dinner after. And I think that would be a really good balance. So you don't feel like you're always being pulled to have to go do this model stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I like that a lot. No, that's definitely good. And then I feel like I've messed up this year by doing too much already for the spring when they have a lot going on. Like our, like our community service project. Yeah, that's happening this spring. And we're doing a self-defense class. They loved that idea. But it's all happening like right here in the spring. And it's like, where do you put those things, especially in the spring when they're so busy? But then so, I look back in the fall and I'm like, I don't know, with senior sessions, that's the busiest time.
Right. You definitely, I mean, spring for me, I tend not to do a whole lot at all because most of my senior sessions come in the spring. So, and plus I'm already trying to recruit for the next year. And I just have a lot going on. They have a lot going on. I mean, graduation, they don't realize prom and, you know, spring break and graduation parties. And they have a lot going on too. So I feel like if you could get the bulk of your things done with your model team prior to spring, that's going to be better. Okay. And maybe just have one thing in the spring, such as your cap and gown. I don't know if you offer that, but that's one of the things that I do. And let that be your one and only thing in the spring. Because they are going to be so busy and you're going to be busy. I do think the cap and gown one is an opportunity for a something after the shoot type thing, like celebrate the graduation, like their graduation. So if you only did, you know, your editorial shoot, You do another shoot in the fall. Of course, they have their individual senior sessions. Then you do your Friendsgiving or Christmas event, right? And if you're doing a Christmas shoot, and then you could do, I don't know if you want to do like a Valentine's or something, because you're never shooting too much in February, right? And then the next thing would very much be your cap and gown end of the year party. And you could have the moms set up or bring food while you shoot them, like while you're photographing them. And then everybody goes to wherever you had the mom set something up. And that way you're not stressed, because the moms are going, and trust me, moms are happy to do that stuff. So that could be a way to get in an event, but have it be, you know, at the same time as a shoot. As far as the community service project goes, Christmas, around Christmas is always a good time with families in need and things of that sort, but also January, February, when you're probably not shooting a whole lot, that would be when I would probably plan that.
Okay.
Okay. Because yeah, you just don't need that much extra stress, right? We all have a million things to do. Mm-hmm. So if you can look at your calendar before, I mean, look, do it right now before you technically announce this new team, is look at your ebbs and flows of your calendar. When are you more busy? When are they more busy? And when are they less busy? And when are you less busy? And that's when you do things.
Okay.
Okay. Because that way you're not always feeling like, oh my God, I got to do something, but yet I have all these sessions and I have all this and I have all that, or they have all this or they have all that, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely pull out your calendar, pull up the high school's calendar, and go ahead and mark off spring breaks, prom, homecoming, because they're not going to be interested at those times anyway. Mm-hmm. So just cross those off. Like, don't plan anything around those. Exams. Okay. So definitely make sure you do that first. Okay. Then I want you to go in and I want you to say, okay, summer's not as busy for me. It's too hot to really shoot. Nobody's really booking their sessions yet. Right. I'm assuming, just because I know where you live. So that's when we're going to have our big editorial shoot. Okay, perfect. Put that date on the calendar. Let them know up front that's when it's going to be. Okay, fall, if a lot of them are generally booking their senior sessions during fall, great. But you probably could squeeze in some sort of fall shoot or event or Friendsgiving or Christmas shoot or something like that. Okay. Because even though fall is quote unquote busy, it's not quite as busy as spring.
Right.
On both of our sides. You know what I mean? Because I've just learned that the hard way. So that would be a really good time. Then, like I say, winter time, can you do some sort of charity event or, you know, community service project, January, February timeframe?
Yeah.
And then set yourself a reminder once a month to send out a group message that has some sort of prompt to check in with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think if you do that and then end the year with your cap and gown and then just have a little after the shoot celebration, I think that's, I mean, that's a lot, and that's a really good amount. I think it's something they would be excited about. Now, granted, put all that on your calendar. And then if during the year you decide, hey, I really, really, really want to shoot at this location, or I really, really need this content, pop-up shoots are always fine. Just don't feel obligated to give so many extra shoots when that wasn't what you promised.
Okay.
Make sure those are very much beneficial to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can even make it a competition. You know, whoever has posted the most this month gets to do this pop-up shoot. Whoever has brought me a referral this month gets to do this pop-up shoot. So it's not like you have to do all 9 or 10 or however many every single time, because that in itself can be a little stressful too.
Right. Exactly. Okay. No, that's perfect. I definitely need to do that.
Does that make you feel a little bit better about laying it out?
Yes. And I went and got those things that you talked about in our goal meeting, the calendars.
Yep.
I got those up. So I definitely need to go through and just write on each month.
Yep. That will help you, and that will make, and it will help them too. If they know ahead of time, these are the things we're going to do. And then, like I say, throughout the year, you find yourself needing or wanting to do something, that is fine, but don't feel like you have to always do these extra things.
Okay.
Okay. And then also just making sure that you're planning these things on slower months for everybody involved is going to be better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Perfect. Yeah. No, that definitely helps. Yeah. That was my biggest struggle this year. Okay. I think is just trying to get everything in and still get that experience. So.
Well, I think, like I say, get your calendar out, pull up the high school calendar, go ahead and mark off the times when you know they're not going to be active. I mean, they're not going to be active, right? I mean, they're not going to come to things on those certain times of year. And then also then look at your calendar and say, okay, when do I have slower times? And how can I plan these things around that? So, you know, self-defense class, any sort of class also would be good when they're not as busy. More people show up, you know. If you did any sort of makeup class and you teamed up with a makeup artist, doing that sometime prior to a big event such as homecoming or pageant or prom, when they might need help with hair and makeup, that would be a good idea too, because then it would be beneficial to them. What other questions?
So launching the model program, and going through everything, all the steps that I did last year and all of that. I don't know if I set the bar a little higher for myself, just because it, you know, this was kind of the first year I actually had a full year of model teams. But I didn't know, like, if you had any advice or suggestions on, I mean, I did all the marketing, I hustled and, you know, reached out to people outside of social media, you know, reached out to past clients, things like that, reached out to schools and everything. And I don't feel like this year, for some reason, I had as much of a, I don't know if I didn't do a very good job connecting with juniors on social media and outside of social media, as I did the year before. But I didn't have as much interest as I did last year, which is kind of strange because last year I didn't really have a year full model team. I just had like that one day event. So I don't know if you have any advice for that.
Well, first question is do you feel like you spent the year of your first model team really showcasing that model team? Because yes, it's sort of a long and a short game, if that makes sense. The launching of it is a short game, meaning you've got a very concentrated time that you're really talking about it and really pushing it and getting it out there. But it's also a long game because all year long, we should be highlighting that model team over and over and over again. So we warm that audience up, those juniors that are following along. When we announce the actual launch, they're ready for that info, right? So I would say go back and look at how well you did the entire year of highlighting the model team. And I mean, first answer is you probably did pretty good, right? But where could you improve? How many more times could you talk about it, right? Could you utilize your models more to talk about it? Because their audience is different than yours, right? So I would say it sounds a little bit like maybe you didn't get enough juniors following along. So when you went to launch it, they may or may not have seen the advertisement of it, right? And obviously we've got the algorithm at play. And if we're not, you know, very active with these people, Instagram's not going to show them our stuff, right? Which don't get me wrong, that used to be easier, right? When before Instagram decided to throw us a curveball and give us an algorithm to deal with, right? but like I say, spending an entire year really making sure that we are documenting and sharing every aspect of that model team. I mean, heck, once a week would be not too much. Okay. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, people have to see things over and over and over and over again before they become interested in that thing. So if we can spend our year, meaning the year of the model team before we launch the next one, really highlighting and saying over and over again the benefits of being on this team and showing how much fun. And I'm not saying you didn't do it. I'm sure you did. But can we review that and see where could we have done more? How could we have done more to nurture our audience and gain those junior followers so that we announce it, we get more interest, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But part of that is also utilizing the models and how well did they post for you?
Mm-hmm. I guess that's a good question too, with the models and how much you have them involved. Like mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people let the models do takeovers yep. or things like that, but that's another area I struggled in, is they kind of just reposted stuff that I posted. I don't think there was ever anything that like I had them, like I didn't create like a template and have them create their own thing. Is that too much to ask of them, or how do you? Oh,
definitely not too much to ask of them. I mean, that's part of being on the team, right? Mm-hmm. You definitely have to make it as easy as possible to get them to do it. Okay. Left up to their own devices, they're not going to think about you. I mean, it's nothing personal. They're mm-hmm. just not, they've got their own lives, et cetera. Right. So we definitely have to nudge them along the way. We can't just say at the beginning of the model team, this is what I expect of you, and then hope they do it. That's not going to work. Okay.
Okay.
We have to continually remind them, push them, challenge them, motivate them. Like it is on us to do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think a model takeover is a really, really good idea right before you launch, because that way you get more of the right kind of people mm-hmm. on your channel to see the launch in the first place. Right.
Okay.
The model takeover of your Instagram is going to be a really good idea to do right before you actually launch the program, because whoever's following the girl that's taking over is going to come to your channel, hopefully a junior, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore they are followers when you start to launch your program. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I definitely think a model takeover is a very good idea.
Okay.
That could definitely help you. I mean, I know you've already launched it and that's fine, mm-hmm. but that could definitely help you in the future. Okay.
Okay.
Because again, what they have to do is you pick a day that so-and-so is going to take over. The day before, she says on her own channel, please come follow me over at Caitlin's Instagram. I'm going to be taking over. That mm-hmm. prompts her followers to then come to your channel to see what she's doing. Okay. And hopefully click follow to follow along, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, younger people follow these seniors. I mean, they just do, mm-hmm. right? So you're gaining followers in a you know, very good way, because you're utilizing your models, right? So that they're still followers. I mean, they're not going to unfollow you just because she's not taking over anymore, most mm-hmm. likely, right?
Right.
But follow that up with interesting content that they could be interested in, like this model team launch.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So and honestly, I also think it would be a really good idea for you to sit down with your current team and just talk to them. And just say, hey, and you can do this at the end of the year, or you could do this at your next upcoming shoot. And just say, hey, I always want to make my program better. I'm not a teenager, so I would love to hear from you. I value your opinion. You're an integral part of my, you know, business here. I, you know, would love your opinion. And just have a couple of questions to ask them. What would you do different? What do you wish we had done? What did you love most about it? And win-win, this is great social proof for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can use it for two different things. You can use it to improve your program, implement maybe some of their ideas, but also you can have actual social proof if you ask, what did you love most? And then use mm-hmm. that as well on social media,
mm-hmm.
on your website.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Definitely get both of those at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, gosh, yeah, you can never have too much content. If you don't use it, you don't use it. But you'd never want to be sitting there going, God, I wish I had a quote to use.
Right, exactly.
Because I mean, then you got to track down the quote and hope somebody answers you or whatever. But if you can bank a whole bunch of stuff, then you've always got something to pull out your hat, right?
Right.
I think that all too often we think we know what they want. But we really don't. I mean, honestly, I mean, every year I learn something new from my models, because I'm not a teenager. I have no way mm-hmm. of knowing exactly what it is. I mean, obviously I can study them and like work with them and learn along the way, but you have a focus group at your disposal. Mm-hmm. And there's never going to be something that can replace what they tell you right out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can sit here and tell you all day long, but my senior is not necessarily your senior. And yes, I'm not saying that what I'm telling you is not beneficial. It certainly is. But a teenager telling you something, specifically when you're targeting teenagers and trying to market to teenagers, that's going to be, you're going to find some gold there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
And I would ask them in person. I know people probably, other people might tell you to send a survey and okay, but most people can ignore a survey. If they're sitting right there with you, they're going to talk a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's a good idea. Okay. I'll definitely do that.
Okay.
But yeah, those were kind of like the two big things I struggled with on the model team this year for sure.
Well, and truth be told, you know, I told you this in the beginning, you can never have a model team until you have your first model team. And nobody's first model team doesn't have like things that worked and didn't work. I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to have that first one. You just do. And you had a really good first one. You really did. And you should pat yourself on the back for that. Like, you have given them more than you promised. They've had an amazing experience. You've gotten a lot out of it. You got paid for it. I mean, all these things are really good things. And I just think you apply what you learned from this year and keep moving forward. And I will say, you know, I've done this for many, many years, and there are ebbs and flows in the interest from year to year. There is. Next year could be gangbusters crazy, and the next year can be not as much interest, and then back to, you know, each class is different. I mean, it really is. Each class is very, very different. I mean, I see a huge difference in today's class versus the 2012 class. Huge difference, right? So you do have to every year sit down and do this process of reviewing what worked and what didn't, and asking them, and then implementing that, because a model team is ever changing, to be honest. You cannot do today what I did back in 2012. You just can't. They're not going to respond well, right? So I do think that your key things would be plan out that calendar. Don't put too much in busy seasons, okay? And don't give them too much in general. I'm not opposed to giving more than you promised. Just don't give too much more, because then you're just giving away free stuff, okay?
Yeah.
You know, there's a fine line in under-promising and over-delivering and giving too much away that you're losing money. Okay. So just make sure you keep that in mind. And then also just sit down with them and ask them questions. I think those two things are really going to help you moving forward for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a good idea. Okay. Perfect. Well, yeah, that was all with the model team.
Okay. And what's the other one?
So senior session, I just have one session outside of IPS that is just basic. It's 2 hours. Two locations, up to three outfits.
Okay.
Literally just a line. And I think for the next year, I want to add a little bit more option in there. Definitely hair and makeup, which hair and makeup, the girls that I use, it was optional, but it wasn't like threw me through my packaging, if that makes sense. Right. I kind of just, it was like a referral, hooked them up, you know, they did their thing. So I want something like that in there. And then also something with my partnership with a boutique. We talked about, you know, like maybe styling. My highest package being a style, like, you know, that's, you know, them going in and having a one-on-one style consult,
right?
You know, with a professional. Is that a good idea of structuring like a basic, middle, and a high, or
it's
like
always going to be, it's always going to be a good idea to have three. That is a really, really good idea no matter what you're doing, because guess what? You're going to have one that's too high for them. You're going to have one that's too low for them, and they're going to land on the middle. Okay. So I definitely think, I mean, if you only ever give one option, they're only ever going to book one option. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you offered more, you could charge more. Right. So I definitely think three session options is a great idea, with the middle one being the one where you want most people to land. Okay. So the bottom one, to me, based off of what you have right now, you can have a 1 hour, one location, basic session. Okay.
Okay.
And it'd be cheaper than what you're offering right now. And it is just basic. It is absolutely basic. Most people aren't going to choose that one. because it is basic and most people don't want to be basic. I mean, especially teenagers, let's be honest. But occasionally you might have somebody that really wants to work with you and can't afford the more expensive one. And that's fine, right? But that's why you don't offer as much in it, because you're not charging as much. So you don't want to take the time to go to five different locations or offer, you know, a wardrobe consultation, et cetera. Okay. So I would keep that one very, very basic. Okay. Keep your middle one the way you have it.
Okay.
And then add a top one that is basically everything your middle one has, but a few more things such as the styling.
Okay.
Okay. Then you're going to have to work out with your friend that owns the boutique. How much is she going to make you pay her to do these styling consultations and factor that into the price?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or have it, you could have it be an add-on. I feel like add-ons people tend to stay away from because they think if they have to think about an extra decision, then they will not make that decision.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yes.
So, you know, work out with her what you're going to include. Same thing with hair and makeup. If, I mean, I include mine. There are pros and cons of including it versus not. But again, if they have to say, okay, here's your session. Now I want you to go and book this hair and makeup artist. There is a chance they won't do that, right? Because that's just another thing they got to pay for. Or another decision they have to make. Do I really need this or not? If it's all included, they don't have to make that decision. It's taken care of. But there are also cons to that too. Okay. So I'm not telling you need to switch that up. I'm just saying, think about that when you're setting up this wardrobe styling, because if it is an extra thing, they may not do it.
Okay.
Okay.
With hair makeup, do you meet with, like, do all of you meet together in one spot before the shoot?
So my hair makeup, I mean, listen, I will say to everybody in out there listening, every photographer, I have a very, 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 very awesome situation. And I wish this was available for everybody. Okay. And I realize it is a very unique situation, but I have a really, really good friend who owns a company of makeup artists. And she has her own studio where all these makeup artists come to do somebody's makeup.
So, that's super cool.
And it's awesome because I have 35 makeup artists at my disposal. Somebody's available, right? So, but I realize that's very unique. But yes, to answer your question, I meet my clients at their hair and makeup appointment. I sit with them during their hair and makeup appointment. Then we leave and go to the shoot. And my reasoning behind that, yes, does it take up more of my day? Yes, it does. But on the flip side of that, do my clients feel way taken care of? Absolutely. And does it give me the opportunity to sit there in a very casual setting to talk to them, to kind of make sure they're not nervous, to get to know them a little bit better before I put that camera in their face? And does it have a huge effect on our shoot? Yeah, it really does. So to me, it's worth it. Okay. I don't think you have to do it that way. I think you can very much send your client, you know, to a hair and makeup artist. You have to trust that hair and makeup artist to make sure that she's holding up her end of the bargain. Right. But meeting them at the hair and makeup appointment has just proven to me effective when it comes to making sure my client is comfortable, getting to know them a little bit better, and being able to give that full service of an experience. I also find that I can kind of read them a little bit better and notice if they don't really like something, because most of them aren't going to say anything to the hair and makeup artist.
Right.
And, you know, that affects your photos. I mean, anyway, if she hates her lipstick, she's going to hate her photos.
Right, exactly.
So I also think it allows me to prevent some things like that a lot of times, because I can say, okay, you know, do you like it? And I even text them and say, do you like it? Like, in case they don't want to say it in front of the makeup.
Right.
So I do think there's benefit to that for sure.
Okay, perfect.
But you have to have somewhere to meet them. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Is I was trying to think of, because my hair and makeup girls, one's on one side of town and one is on the other side of town. So having the client who, you know, lives right here, I'm not going to ask them to, you know, drive everywhere.
Well, I mean, mine is downtown, and most of my clients are not downtown. I mean, they have to drive 20 minutes, usually 20 or more minutes, to get to the makeup studio. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't bother me to ask them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would if they are like makeups on this side of town and hairs on this side of town?
Oh, see, mine are all together.
Yeah.
I mean, my people do hair and makeup. Okay, now I get it. Okay, yeah.
It's hard for me because I try to find a common ground for us, which, you know, has just been like my house downstairs. Mm-hmm. But that's also like with kids and stuff, that's, you know, an extra 2 hours of either a sitter or my husband has to come home early for more. So I'm struggling with that because I would love to offer hair and makeup. For my models last year, I had hair and makeup come to the house. And it was a lot of fun, and I love sitting down with them, but it was hard to find the balance of, you know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah. Do you think there's any way to research and see if there is a hair and makeup team in one location? I mean, I hate to give up these girls if you like them, but, you know, definitely having one location. Are either managers willing to go on location? That's the other question.
Oh, yeah. I've never really thought about that.
That could be a possibility to ask. And the reason I say that is maybe if the hair artist is willing to go on location, can she come to the makeup artist studio and that just be your one place to meet?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, exactly.
Or vice
versa. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely.
I mean, most hair and makeup, maybe not the hair as much. Most makeup artists are going on location at least some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to, I don't know, a wedding venue, or they're going to, you know what I'm saying? So probably more likely the makeup artist might be willing to go to the hair studio, because a hair studio is a hair salon usually, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's idea.
And then you could, you know, but then also look for a full service salon.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I use in Charleston for the semester retreat is a full service hair and makeup salon. So they just go to one place and they have people that do hair and they have people that do makeup.
Yeah. It has to be so nice just to find the one-stop shop of.
There's got to be somebody. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like there has to be a Knoxville. There's a matter of finding it.
Yeah.
I would say use the hashtag on Instagram, Knoxville wedding hair and makeup, and start there.
There's tons of company. It's hard when you grew up with these two people.
Oh, I know. And I get it. I mean, I absolutely get it. I mean, and if you wanted to keep using them on occasion, that would be fine. But you can, I mean, you have to just, to explain to them, look, this is not cohesive for what I'm trying to do. I would love it if one of you would go to the other and then I could keep using you. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to have to find yourself a studio where they both come, or you're going to find somebody else. Because I mean, yes, I do believe in making it work. Okay. So when I first started, the hair and makeup artist would come to my house. That is not necessarily the best option, because you got to clean your house and you got to deal with your kids and you got to do this and your dog and all that, you know, all that. And it's your space, right? It's your personal space. So that's not the best option. Not the worst option. It can be done. And I did it for a long time. Okay. Because when I first started working with Katie, my makeup artist, she did not have a studio. Mm-hmm. And it was either go to her house or go to my house. And I can control my house a lot more than I can control her house.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So that's kind of where I was with that. It's like, okay, at least, you know I can make a spot in my house. Right. And I did for a long time until she got a studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started going there. So absolutely can make that work. It's just maybe not the best option for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a co-work space that you can rent?
Yeah. I was just thinking that's just,
I know.
Another fee.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, ideally, it would be really good if you go to your hair and makeup artist and see if either one of them is willing to go to the other.
Yeah. No, I definitely need to do that, because I don't think I've ever had that conversation with them. Right.
And all they can say is no, and then you say, okay, well, now I've got to weigh my other options.
Right.
Somebody else, or, but I would probably say, try to find a way not to have them come to your house if possible.
Yeah.
I think you're at that level where you're ready. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. That's a good idea.
But definitely.
Yeah. No, I like those
three sessions for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like those packages.
Okay.
And make sure
you charge enough for that top one. Like, make that one includes more. You do have to give some of that money or, you know, to the stylist, if that's how you're going to work that out. So make sure that one's enough. And if nobody books that one, that's fine, because then they're just going to come down to the middle one, which is what you typically book anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. With this being my first year of like IPS, prices worked out perfectly with those collections and everything. So I don't want to tweak anything too much next year for that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know. And again, this is like the fear, you know, of pricing coming in and everything like that. But it like, which I mean, you don't know until you try, and you don't know, you know, what people will say yes or no to, but bringing up that session fee already when this year, I mean, it was probably, it was a good amount. I had some people say, you know, that I can't do that, but I had a lot of people say yes to the session fee plus on top your IPS stuff. So it always makes me nervous, like these package sessions, like doing that middle one, adding in the hair and makeup. Do you find a lot of like no's to that, or like they can't believe that so much? When does that make sense, what I'm saying? Like looking at, they feel like they're getting hair and makeup out of it, and they feel like, well, yeah, it's a session fee, but I'm still not getting, I'm still gonna have to pay all this other money too just to get my digitals.
Yeah, that makes sense. You have to make money. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, listen, I don't care what price point you're at. Anytime you raise a price point, you're going to lose some clients. People are going to say no. Okay. And as easy as this is for me to say, and as hard as it is probably for you to you know, really feel, they aren't your clients, right? You're not willing to work where you're not going to get money. Okay.
Right.
And your time to go do the session is worth a certain amount of money, whether they get digitals or photos or not, right? So you have to be paid for the time it takes you to schedule hair and makeup, if you're including that now, do the wardrobe consultation. Like, these are all things that take time away from you doing something else, and you deserve to be paid for it. Okay. So there's always going to be somebody that says no or just doesn't answer. I mean, you know, that's kind of what they do, right?
Yeah.
But that's okay. If they want a cheaper photographer and they don't want this full experience, then they can go find the person that charges $100 and gives them 800 photos.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, fine.
Yes, exactly.
You don't need to be that person. That's not you. You have created a full service boutique luxury experience. There are people out there that want that experience. Okay. And, you know, yes, I know you're still kind of new to the separate pricing, meaning a separate session and a separate in-person ordering. The more you do it and the more years you're doing that, nobody's batting an eye at that anymore.
Right. Because
that's how you're presenting it. Okay. So I do think there is something to be said with, you know, you're still trying to get used to that new model. But I mean, again, even at $100, you're too expensive for somebody.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, because there's somebody else that'll do it for 50. Crazy, but there is, right?
Yes.
You know, 100%. So yeah, I mean, I think it's all about how you educate and present the value of what you're offering. Okay. So when they see that this session fee includes this, 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 and this, then they're going to see that, okay, it was worth $250 because she took care of booking my hair and makeup. She took care of all the planning. She met with me and helped me with my wardrobe, you know, whatever's in there. Okay.
Right.
But it's all about making sure that you are constantly showing all these things you do to be worth that money. Okay.
Okay.
So on your social media, I want you talking about, this is what happens when you book a session with me. And list out or share with them all the value they're going to get, because you're going to help them plan their session. You're going to talk to them on the phone, or do you do a phone consultation?
Yes.
You're going to do that. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to offer these amazing products. Like, you have to constantly tell people, this is why, without saying, this is why I cost this much, right? Like, I mean, we're not going to say that, but we are going to show them over and over my value, why you're hiring me. I'm going to take care of every detail, right?
Right.
It's going to be a full service experience, right? If you don't want a full service experience, if you don't want to spend the money, if that's not something you value, great. No hard feelings. Go to the, you know, somebody else that offers a different process. Okay. But you can't offer all this amazing stuff and not get paid for it.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Because otherwise, why be in business?
Right.
So you just have to be confident and keep telling yourself all the amazing things that you do that not everybody's doing.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not just that you take these amazing photos, which is great, but you also do this, 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 and this, and that is why that it's this much. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Got it.
So honestly, I would challenge you, Caitlin, at least once or twice a month to make a post about that type of thing. Okay.
Okay.
Just always reiterate what you are doing that's different, how you are helping your clients in this way, and what you are offering. Okay.
Okay.
So you're constantly sharing your value more than just saying, hey, this is what your photos might look like.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So talk about the welcome guide, talk about the what to wear guide, like, you know, all these things. Make a reel that says, this is what you can expect when you book me. Okay.
So okay.
But you have to constantly reiterate it. It can't be a one and done type post. Okay. So that's what I say, at least once or twice a month, have some sort of post geared around that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Okay.
Yep. Perfect. Yep.
Okay. All right. Did I answer all your questions?
That does. Definitely. Okay, helps.
So your to-do list is to plan out your model team right now before you select them. Okay. Plan out what you're going to do with them. Plan a date for you to talk to your current model team. Okay. And ask them those questions. Obviously, you got to finish up what you've promised them as well, right?
Yeah.
And then have your model team meet and greet. That's going to be awesome.
Yes. Yeah. We're excited.
Okay. Good. I can't wait to see. Make sure you're getting behind the scenes of that. Make sure you're sharing the prep that goes into that.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, literally show everything.
Okay.
Okay. Even if you think it's like, oh, nobody cares about this. People care. Okay. People are going to want to see you go in and, you know, decorating the venue, or you buying the balloons, or you setting up the selfie station, or you, you know, putting together the packets that you give them. Document it all. Because again, remember, it's a long game. So if you start this year starting to document every single aspect of it, then more and more people are going to be interested following you. So when you launch the next year, you have the right followers.
Right. Okay. That's perfect.
Are some of your current models coming to Model Info Night?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Then have them maybe the day of, ask them to post their excitement for meeting the new people.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay.
Okay.
That's
all
perfect.
Right. I hope this helped.
So much, yeah, I'm excited. It did help. Helped a lot.
Okay, good. All right. Well, keep me posted and let me know if you have any other questions.
Thank you so much, Leslie. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Hopefully listening to this live coaching call helped you with any questions you may have about a senior model team. But if you're still looking for help in the area of senior model teams or any other aspect of your business, I have several ways to help you in your business. There is the Seniorology Semester, which is a 6-month coaching program dedicated to high school senior photographers and allowing you to become that go-to senior photographer in your area. You can also book a one-on-one coaching call, get the very specific help that you need in your business. You can register for an online class, including the Spokesmodel Academy, which will teach you exactly how to build a successful Spokesmodel program. And if you are looking for templates to help you, such as a model handbook, or the model launch kit, you can find those inside the Seniorology shop. I am always available to help via DM or our free Facebook community, so be sure to join those as well. No matter where you get the help in your business, don't be afraid to ask. I would love for you to ask me. I'm here to help you, but there are many, many other people out there as well. So find the right person that will help you in your business. I will see you next week on an all-new episode of the Seniorology Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Seniorology Podcast.